You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And welcome to First Bite Part 2, our Detroit Lions preview podcast. This time, we're not previewing Week 14. This time, we are previewing, again, the Detroit Lions offseason. Last week, we brought you more information on Robert Saleh. This week, we're going to talk about the guy who took him down on Monday night. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I am the managing editor at PrideOfDetroit.com, your co-host for First Bite. With us this week is Chris Perfett, our co-host and adequate host of the PODcast. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm just here to take a break from cyberpunk. Just gotta go back in, gotta do more cyber, gotta do more punk, you know?
Fair enough.
But, you know, it's football. The things we do, the things we do, the sacrifices I make for the brand here at Pride Detroit.
You are nothing short of a hero. And also a hero to join us and take some time out of his day to talk to us about Brian Daboll is Matthew Fairburn, the beat writer for the Bills over at The Athletic. You can find him at Matthew Fairburn on Twitter. Matthew, how are you doing tonight?
No, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's kick things off with Brian Daboll. Let's really just start with him as a person. We talked a lot about Robert Saleh, and we see a lot of kind of sideline theatrics with him. I don't think we see quite as much with Brian Daboll. So just, you know, from your observations, either at practice or during games, what kind of coach is he on a day-to-day basis in terms of just his personality?
Yeah, you definitely don't see quite as much of him because he spends his game day in the booth calling his plays from upstairs, which is an interesting note, I guess, when you're considering a potential future head coach and a guy that will probably want to call his own offensive plays. He has had more success up in the booth. He moved up there at some point, trying to remember the exact time. I think it was at some point last year. It was kind of something he and Josh Allen figured out, you know, what worked best for them. And he likes it up there. It's worked well for them. But as a guy, Brian Daboll is a good guy to deal with, you know, from my perspective, since I've gotten to know him over the last few years. I think the version of Brian Daboll that the Bills have is a lot different than the one you know, some of his players might have had earlier in his career. I talked to Derek Anderson a few weeks ago for a story I was doing on Josh Allen. He was the Bills' backup in 2018, but he also spent time with Brian Daboll in Cleveland early in his career. And his thought was that when he got to Buffalo, Brian Daboll was a lot. He wasn't as much of a hard ass as he was in Cleveland. He wasn't as, you know, he was much more receptive to feedback in Buffalo and much more willing to bend to his players a little bit on certain things. And I think that's what Brian Daboll would like his defining characteristic as a coach to be, that he's somebody who will fit his scheme to his players and will fit his style to his players and really work to their strengths and take feedback. And there's been a lot of examples of him doing that over the last few years. So as a guy, yeah, I think that's what you're getting is he's pretty down to earth in a lot of ways. He's a big time grinder, like, you know, a guy that will, which if you get to this point in coaching, that's probably, you know, something that you've got as a characteristic. He's definitely a hard worker, but a pretty low key guy. He's from here, not too far from the Bills Stadium in West Seneca, New York, and grew up here, still has a lot of family here. So he's definitely appreciative of all that and, you know, what this team means to this community. And I think there's a lot of similarities between Buffalo and Detroit, you know, in terms of the fan base and the characteristics of the community. So I think that would make him a pretty good fit as well.
Yeah, I know when he had jumped around quite a bit early in his career. You kind of alluded to that. There was never really a place he spent as an offensive coordinator more than one or two seasons. You know, he worked with Eric Mangini in Cleveland. I believe he spent some time with Romeo Crennel, if I'm not mistaken, in 2012. I think that's right. And I think one of the things I know Jeremy wants to talk about is his Patriots ties at some point. But I guess my question is two point. One, do you think, you know, a lot of that he has kind of like why he jumped around a lot? I know you talked about in the past, maybe he was a bit of a hard ass, or he saw himself as a bit of a hard ass, or if it's just kind of the circumstances of those situations. And I guess the other is, and this always pops out to me, is when a guy kind of moves from the NFL to college, then back to the NFL. He spent, you know, 2017 as the co-offensive coordinator in Alabama, the quarterbacks coach. He got to work with some of those exciting young quarterbacks we've kind of seen being touted out of Alabama in recent years, kind of taken over as Lane Kiffin kind of left the door. And, you know, we've seen quite a few guys kind of come through to transform Alabama from this, you know, slug of yesteryear into a high powered offense. Like what would you say he probably learned at Alabama that kind of just he brought back with him to the NFL?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some concepts offensively, you know, the creativity that you see in college sometimes, a little bit of, you know, some different you know, passing concepts or things like that. I think there's also a certain, you're almost forced to connect with players a little bit differently in college, whether it's recruiting or, you know, the youth that you're dealing with, right? The age of the guys, you have to kind of get on their level a little bit and be able to relate to them. And I think that's a little bit different in college than it is in the pros sometimes. There's a little bit more of that. So, and he got to be around Nick Saban. That doesn't hurt. So I think the fact that he's bounced around is, you know, it could be viewed, I guess, as sort of a detriment to him, but also like the places he was, he had pretty rotten hands, right? Like, I mean, being the offensive coordinator of those Chiefs early on and those Browns, not sure too many people would have stuck around. There was a lot of people losing jobs. So it wasn't so much him jumping around as it was him probably taking the wrong jobs. And it's why it took him a while before he eventually got back in that coordinator spot. And it does seem like he reflected and learned a lot from the various stops along the way.
Well, let's dive a little bit into his offensive philosophy. You mentioned that maybe he kind of fits his scheme to his players. And I think we may have seen that already in Buffalo. You know, last year they were kind of a run heavy team that was, you know, pretty successful doing that. This year, they're pretty much throwing the ball all the time. And I want to bring up one quote that I thought was really interesting, and I think something that Lions fans are really going to like. He said a couple of weeks ago, I think, he says, balance is important if it's working. If one of them is not working, then you better not have too much balance. You better do the other thing more. Is that what you see kind of on a week-to-week basis, or is it more, you know, year-to-year depending on the personnel? And I guess if you had to kind of encapsulate his scheme in, you know, it's probably not fair to do it in a sentence or two, but if you could kind of, you know, put it all in together in one simple paragraph, let's say, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's definitely one where he will play to his players' strengths. So it's not what he does in Buffalo might not be exactly what he would do in Detroit. It's possible. The personnel is not drastically different, but a lot of shotgun with Josh Allen, a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of play action. You know, he's cutting edge in some of those ways where he will look at what works around the league and incorporate it into what he does here. But he's also very much the type of coach, like I said, he wants the defining characteristic of him as a coach to be that he will mold his scheme around his players. A lot of coaches say that yep, they're not going to try to fit a square peg into a round hole or this or that. But we saw, you know, I think I can tell the difference because a few years earlier, Rex Ryan came here and said the exact same thing and then completely broke the Bills defense by trying to fit all these guys into his 3-4 scheme.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll came in here, talked about that, and then built an offense around the quarterback that they decided to draft, which he was a pretty big part of the scouting process that led them to Josh Allen. And then he's year after year changed things a little bit here and there. Cole Beasley has talked about how there's route concepts that he ran at SMU that he thought might work, and he brought them to Brian Daboll, and the next day they're running them in practice. And you know, a week later they're running them in a game. You know, they figure out ways to incorporate some of those things, and younger Brian Daboll might not have done that. I think this year there's also, you know, a great example of they use 4 wide receiver sets more than any other team in the league. Why do they do that? Because they have 4 good wide receivers. Like it's really that simple. Like sometimes with Brian Daboll, the simplest answer is the easiest one. Like you said, with balance, why do they throw so much? Because they're better at throwing, you know, and it's a more efficient way to move the ball. But they're also just better at it. And so if a game plan, you know, if a matchup calls for running the ball, they'll do it. They did it against the Patriots because the Patriots are one of the worst run defending teams in the NFL. So they'll do that if they have to, but you know, if they need to throw the ball 40 times a game, they're no longer afraid to do it because they have a quarterback who can handle it. And, you know, that's the big thing with Brian Daboll. If, you know, he's going to cater to his personnel, and he's involved with the personnel too. You know, he's got a relationship with Brandon Bean and Joe Shane, the assistant general manager. I think he mentions them almost weekly in his news conferences with the media, where he'll give them credit for a certain player or this or something working. He'll always deflect credit to somebody else, whether it's his player or the people in the front office for getting that player. And he's been involved, like I said, scouting Josh Allen. Robert Foster, you might remember, had a big year for them a few years ago. Brian Daboll had familiarity with him at Alabama and helped bring him to Buffalo when he was an undrafted free agent. So he's the type of guy that will provide his input when it's valuable, when it's needed, but also, you know, is also willing to say, look, I need this type of guy. Go find that guy, you know, or, you know, work hand in hand and compromise and be a little bit flexible and malleable, which I think is a pretty good quality to have, especially in this day and age.
I know one of the, you know, since you mentioned Josh Allen, I kind of want to focus on his work with Allen here for a second, because I know looking at people I know from, let's just call them draft Twitter, have never really let Josh Allen go as this idea of someone who is just not developed. But I mean, I remember talking with another guy I work with, Jonas Knox, who said at the beginning of this year, like, look, through camp, Allen has massively progressed in his throwing motion, in his decision making, and he's massively improved developmentally, especially this year. But he has shown progress every year he's been at Buffalo. I guess I would ask you then, how much of that can you attribute to Allen working in Daboll's system, or is it more just kind of Allen kind of naturally progressing?
I think Brian Daboll deserves a lot of credit for what you see with Josh Allen. You know, I hesitate to give him too much credit because Bills fans are a little sensitive, and that would mean I'm not giving Josh Allen enough credit. You know, if you heap praise on Brian Daboll, then that means you're not, then you're hating on Josh Allen, which I'm not trying to do. But watch some of these games. Go watch some of these games that Josh Allen's thrown for 400 or 4 touchdowns. And check out how open some guys get, and how, you know, some of the concepts they run that consistently are being called at the right time and things like that. So there is an element of what you're seeing in 2020. Brian Daboll deserves, you know, some credit for that. Josh Allen's hitting those guys. He's got a huge arm. There's some stuff that Brian Daboll can call simply because he has a guy as talented as Josh Allen at quarterback. But you also can't discredit the fact that this is year 3 in the system with Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll was involved from the very beginning of the process. They fired Rick Dennison after Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean's first year in Buffalo in 2017. Rick Dennison was not their first choice, not their second choice, not their third choice of offensive coordinator, but that's who they got stuck with. They fired him knowing they would be drafting a quarterback, and they immediately got Brian Daboll involved in that, starting at the Senior Bowl, meeting with Josh Allen at the combine. He was on all those workouts, you know, that they did, and basically from the start was there to guide him along, you know, build a system around his strengths and coach him up. You know, they added Ken Dorsey after Josh Allen's rookie year to be the quarterback's coach. He's done a great job as well. Josh Allen does a lot of work on his own with Jordan Palmer in the offseason. So there's a lot of this that's Josh being, you know, personally motivated and driven to get better. There's a lot of it that is his natural ability and the natural progression quarterbacks go through in the NFL. But comparing him to the other quarterbacks in that class, he has as much stability as just about any of them at that coordinator spot. And I think that's really valuable. And Brian Daboll works with him very closely. You know, he, for his entire rookie year, it seemed like was basically his quarterback's coach, because they had David Culley as the quarterback's coach then. And he had never coached quarterbacks in the NFL before that, before getting that job. So, Brian Daboll did a lot of that work early on, stuck with him, and you can just see the relationship they have, how much they care about each other. And I think that results in a lot of trust, knowing his quarterback well to be able to call certain things at certain times, knowing what not to call, knowing what won't work, and not trying to make Josh Allen into something he isn't. And I mean, Josh Allen's playing really well this year. He's, you know, a lot of people mention him in MVP conversations and things of that nature. So it's been a group effort. And I think everybody involved would say that behind closed doors and otherwise.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, theoretically speaking, he comes to Detroit. You have to wonder if maybe he goes out and gets his new quarterback, his new project. Obviously, I think you could probably work with Matthew Stafford pretty well, but given that he's 32, I think, you know, that's a big conversation that if they bring in Brian Daboll for an interview, I think that's one thing that they probably are talking about for at least half their interview, you'd imagine. One thing before we go to our first break here, we have to bring up his Patriots past. The Lions just got rid of a Patriots head coach. It's going to be a tough sell to give someone that kind of came from those ranks. He's there three different stints, basically for about 8 years. But you mentioned a whole bunch of qualities that sound like maybe he shed that Patriots identity, you know, that hard ass mentality, that kind of this is the way we're doing it. And, you know, being very strict in what we do. Is it fair to say that he doesn't really have that quote unquote Patriots stink anymore?
I think so. It's interesting. He comes from that background and he's, you know, certainly spent a lot of time there, respects Bill Belichick, has a good relationship with him. I don't always think of him in that light as a Patriots guy necessarily, but it's still a part of him. I mean, he was there a long time. It doesn't have to be a bad part of him. You know, there are good things to be learned. I know not a lot of guys become, you know, great head coaches after coming through there and or being the coordinators, but I also don't think he was ever anointed there as, you know, this next great thing. Like a lot of the guys were, you know, whether it's Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, whoever else, he didn't necessarily ever get tagged in that way and never progressed to being a coordinator there. So he did expose himself to some other, you know, coaching trees and, you know, some time with Nick Saban, which is, you know, also kind of a Belichick, Jason, you know, yeah. pretty similar in some ways. It's interesting because I don't know. I've wondered this about Brian Daboll over the last few years because his name pops up. And certainly this year, his name pops up as a head coaching candidate. And I always think to myself, like, would he be a good head coach? And I think it's really hard to tell how a guy's going to behave and how a guy's going to handle being a head coach until he's in the seat. We see Brian Daboll weekly in these news conferences. Used to, you know, see him a lot after practice and stuff like that when we were able to be at the facility more. And he's a good guy. He's personable. He gets along with his players. He's you know, a guy that is real friendly at times with the media. He's not overly colorful in his news conferences, but he's pretty good. But I'm always weary of coordinators because it's like, why, you know, is the friendliness for an end goal? Is it, you know, that's the way it always felt with Greg Roman when he was here. Like, he's being, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, but if he ever gets in the head chair, he's too much of a control freak to, you know, and that is Greg Roman to a T, but I don't know with Brian Daboll. Like, I think he's a really, really good offensive coordinator. I think he's grown a ton as a coach. He's reflected a lot, improved in a lot of areas that he needed to improve on. And I don't know. I think somebody would have to be, I don't know if I'm qualified to sit here and say whether he would be a good head coach. It would take somebody sitting down with him through that interview process, seeing his binder full of notes and getting that feel for him, like behind closed doors, because what we see in the media is a little bit different. And I don't think he's the control freak type necessarily. I don't think it would be a Matt Patricia situation, but like I said, that chair can do a lot of things to people. And it's sometimes really tough to tell what it'll do to somebody until they're actually sitting in it.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we are going to have questions from our listeners. So if you're watching live on YouTube or Twitch, make sure to send some questions in right now, and we will come back with more profiling on, I almost messed up his name, Brian Daboll, when we come back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And we are back on First Bite, our offseason preview podcast, where we're talking with Matthew Fairburn, sorry about that, the Bills beat writer for The Athletic. We're talking about a Lions head coaching candidate, the offensive coordinator of the Bills, Brian Daboll. We're going to take your guys' questions now, and let's start from our Twitch chat. A good one here. Let's talk about maybe some of the guys that Daboll would be able to potentially bring in. We got a question about general manager. That might be a little bit tough for you to answer, but if you have an answer for maybe a general manager that he kind of worked well with, or any coaching staff, you know, obviously if he's on the offensive guy, he's going to need a defensive minded coach to help him out. So in terms of his connections in the past, is there anyone that he's particularly close with that might be available to bring over to Detroit?
I think the Buffalo Bills front office is going to be one that people try to poach from here mm-hmm. pretty soon. And Joe Shane is the assistant general manager. And like I mentioned, not only does Brandon Bean get a shout out every week in Brian Daboll's news conferences, so does Joe Shane. It's always Brandon and Joe do a great job. Brandon and Joe this, Brandon and Joe that. I think Joe Shane will be a general manager here pretty soon. He was heavily involved in scouting Josh Allen. And I think, you know, he's a logical guy. Dan Morgan, their director of player personnel, that guy has GM written all over him. I think he'd be great at it. He started scouting with the Seahawks and moved over to the Bills after playing for years for the Panthers. So there's the two names there. And, you know, this idea of what Brian Daboll's coaching staff would look like is an interesting question because he's been so many places yeah. and he didn't really hire this offensive staff. And he wasn't here at the start of when it was all getting built. So I doubt he'd be able to pry, you know, a guy like Ken Dorsey, because Ken Dorsey might be the guy that takes his job. It's possible. Maybe he could beat him to the punch and say, you want to come be my offensive coordinator. But that might be hard. Defensively, I don't know. I think you'd probably look at the Belichick tree somewhere.
Just bring Matt Patricia right back.
Right? Like, there'd probably be some of that potentially. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could lure like a Romeo Crennel, you know, who he's worked with in the past, who's actually given Brian Daboll some trouble over the years when they've played the Texans. He's a little bit older, but I don't know. That is such a, it's a really good question. And, you know, I'd just be kind of throwing out names and guessing a little bit. But it's also a question that you need to think about because, right, like I mentioned, you know, Sean McDermott had what, his third or fourth pick at offensive coordinator. Like, he had a hard time building a staff and ended up working out okay in the long run. But it's something you have to think about. You know, what's the guy's reputation around the league? What type of candidate is he going to be able to lure into working with him? And you know, that staff you build is pretty important. So I would guess that he would lean into the Belichick defensive tree only because it seems like that tree gives him a hell of a hard time when he's up against it. He's had trouble against Belichick. He's had trouble against Crennel. So I think that would probably be likely. I can't think of anybody on the Bills defensive staff right now that deserves to be a defensive coordinator. Like, they don't have that. They've shuffled through defensive line coaches. I mean, Eric Washington was the defensive coordinator in Carolina before he became the Bills defensive line coach. He's done just an okay job. Like, they don't really have anybody, I don't think, that deserves to be that. So that's why I think he would probably have to dig a little deeper in his past. Who knows? Maybe he goes to the college ranks. I think you would see him go a little bit to the college ranks potentially in who he surrounds himself with on offense.
That's, I mean, that way the Lions wouldn't have to change their personnel that much on defense. They got all these Patriots guys already.
Don't. All right. Let's see here. I've got a question. Excuse me. I've got a question here. You want to do this? I'll do this one from, I feel like we've got some of Simon's question out of the way. We'll revisit it. I'll let you decide on that, sure, Jeremy. But I'll take the question from Loaded Aries, which I know we kind of touched on it before, but just kind of as a quick up, re-up for the question. This is from Loaded Aries. What is a quality slash attribute of Daboll that makes him worthy as a head coach? And what's one attribute maybe that he probably needs to work on?
I think the flexibility is one we've touched on, but I'd also, you know, give him props for his play calling. When everybody's looking for a coach these days, it seems like everybody wants a good offensive mind and a good, you know, play caller, a guy that can, you know, call the shots. And I do think Brian Daboll's gotten a lot better in that area. And I think that's something that, you know, would, you know, help him transition pretty smoothly to a team that, like the Lions, that has weapons on offense. He would, I'm sure, make them a pretty good offense right away. Something he needs to work on, I don't know. I think there's an element of, like, when you're in that, you know, like I said, when you get in that chair and you're a head coach for the first time, there is a CEO quality to it, a, you know, big picture leader. And I think that's something every head coach, like, he's never been a head coach. Some guys like have done it in college before they get to the NFL or whatever. Being that type of big picture leader, I think would be a transition, as it would for most, and everything that comes along with that, being the public face, you know, daily, not just weekly. Like, Matt Patricia's a pretty good example, right, of a guy that was sort of this media darling in New England, had all these glowing profiles written of him because he was just that quirky defensive coordinator with the pencil behind his ear, and he had a big beard, and then he gets in Detroit and he's yelling at dudes to sit up straight, and he's like just being a complete a-hole. And it's like, that doesn't,
yeah, kind of like the old story about Nick Saban, the apocryphal story about Nick Saban when he gets to Miami and tells someone to tie their shoes. Yeah,
right. Like, you have to earn that, I guess. It's not that you can't be a jerk to the media, or like be a grumpy presence, you know, public facing, and still be a good coach. It's possible. But you have to earn it a little bit. You have to play the game a little bit, I think. And it makes people wear out quickly. I think, like, Matt Patricia is a really good example. Like, you have to strike the right balance. And I think Brian Daboll is in a much better spot than Patricia was because, like I mentioned, he's had some failures in his past that forced him to change how he is and to grow. And I think he would just have to remember that when he got in that head chair to say, all right, I don't have to be Bill. I don't have to be Nick Saban. I just have to be Brian Daboll. And maybe that's all he needs to be a good head coach. And I think a lot of Patriots guys lose sight of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good point because I think people would, I think a lot of people, even in the Lions locker room, would say that Matt Patricia became a better coach after that year one failure here in Detroit. And Brian Daboll comes with that part of his past already there. Like he's already learned from his mistakes, already improved, hopefully as a person and a coach. But like you said, I think there's a lot of unknown once you get into that head coaching job. I want to talk about maybe like some personal endorsements he's got. We talked a lot about Robert Saleh last week and, you know, when Richard Sherman says something about Robert Saleh, you pay attention. Is there someone within that Bills organization that maybe has given him, you know, a similar kind of ringing endorsement?
I mean, pick a guy on offense. They all rave about him, which is not, you know, it's not lip service after a certain point, right? You know, yeah. It's like I mentioned, Cole Beasley talking about specific plays that he would bring to Daboll, and literally Beasley and Daboll that day got on the phone with June Jones, like the old offensive coordinator, or maybe he was the head coach at SMU for a little while too, I think, and mapped out, okay, how do I run this play? What do I need to know about it? Like, you know, and what other concepts can I run off of this? And, you know, Beasley loves Brian Daboll. Stephon Diggs, who, I don't know, he's had some clearly, you know, bumpy relationships with, I don't think it's all Stephon Diggs' fault, but like there's clearly been some uneven relationships he's had with coaches in his past. He vouches for Brian Daboll. Josh Allen loves him. You know, Josh Allen's not Richard Sherman, right? He hasn't been around as long as Richard Sherman. He doesn't really know any other offensive coordinator other than Brian Daboll, but he does vouch for him. All of these receivers, you know, talk about his, how he's fun. You know, they like being around him. He's a funny guy. He's cracking jokes. Derek Anderson would be another one. That is a guy who's been around, seen a lot of coaches, seen two different versions of Brian Daboll. So sure. There's a lot of guys that really like Brian. And I think you'd get the same answer from Brandon Bean and Joe Shane, the two guys running the front office.
I got a really good question from the chat here from Willie Stroker Down. He asks, does Daboll have any connections to any up and coming free agents that might follow him to Detroit? So maybe if there are any up and coming Bills free agents that might help out Detroit.
On the offensive line, John Feliciano and Darrell Williams are scheduled to be free agents. Both have been good players for the Bills. I think they'd like to have both or, you know, at least one of them back. So that would be a start. There's a chance that the Bills would release John Brown this offseason. It's not a lock, but they could save like $8 million on the cap if they cut him. And he's been a really good player here. So those are a few from his time in Buffalo. When I think about others, unless a guy like Zay Jones really excites you, but I think he's scheduled to be a free agent after this year in Vegas, but they got rid of him here. So of the guys currently on the Bills roster, those are probably the ones that could maybe make the jump on the offensive line. And then potentially John Brown, but that's not a lock. A lot of that depends on where the salary cap lands this offseason.
Mine's definitely might be in the market for wide receiver though. So
I've got a question. Yeah. I've got a question for myself. It's not from chat or nothing. Mm-hmm. I was kind of waiting to see if chat would do it. I guess my question as far as Daboll would be is, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams looking for coaches coming up this season. What do you kind of see besides the Lions? What could potentially be the market? Is there other places where he might have connections that might draw him to any kind of openings, like say, I don't know, they're not open yet, like the Jets or the Bears. Yes, they're probably going to fire Nagy. Chat. Like I see you there. I see Hooten Hollering. Or it could be places that are already open, like say Houston. Like, is there any kind of place that would have those ties that could maybe draw him in?
Houston jumps to mind first. I was thinking about it today, reading that Sports Illustrated story on Jack Easterby. They worked together in Kansas City. Brian Daboll, I think, helped bridge the connection to New England. And so they're pretty close with one another, it seems. So that's definitely one that I'm guessing he'll be on their list and he'll get an interview. And I mean, at that point, it becomes a, you know, how do you rank the head coaching openings, right? Like, I think Detroit is probably a better situation in some ways, but Deshaun Watson might be the trump card. So right. That's one. I think that one makes the most sense as far as like actual connections to Daboll and his tree. I'm guessing the Jaguars opening will pop up at some point. And so much of this will depend on, and I think this is where some of that will come into play. Like, the Jaguars will have coach and GM openings. The Lions have a coach and GM opening. So there's a potential to like come as a package deal, whether it's with, you know, Joe Shane or Dan Morgan, like I mentioned, or somebody from, you know, Daboll's past elsewhere. So that potential creates openings that he might have some more connections to. But of the ones that are open at the moment, Houston is the one that, you know, sent some alarms off in my head. I think the Jets should be interested because they'll have a number one pick at quarterback, and they've seen what he can do in the division very closely over these last few years. So, you know, that would be one that makes some sense. But Houston, he's definitely got the most ties to.
All right, let's wrap up this show. Thanks again, Matthew, for joining us. Let me give you an opportunity to plug your stuff here. Where can people find you if there's any more information on Brian Daboll that maybe you've written about? Or I know you have some colleagues over there at The Athletic that cover the Bills as well. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I've written some stuff over at The Athletic. If you go to, if you search my name in The Athletic and scroll down the page, you'll find some stories that I've done. Back to his Josh Allen's rookie year might interest people. Some stuff on the concepts he was running and how he was developing Josh Allen. And there's some stuff from recently on, you know, lessons from Allen's rookie year from when I talked to Derek Anderson. That was just a few weeks ago. And Daboll was heavily involved in that as well. And I did a story that I tweeted out today. This was from a few years ago, inside their scouting of Josh Allen. If people want an idea of what role Daboll had in that and what he had to say about that whole process, you can find that on my Twitter page, which is just at Matthew Fairburn, as it's spelled right here.
All right. That's at MATTHEWFAIRBURN. Thank you all for listening. We are going to be back here Sunday night after the late Lions game between the Lions and the Packers, up here on our Twitch page and our YouTube page, and then obviously over on our podcast platform the next morning. So until then, it's chaos. Be kind.
To-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
first thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on Call mom?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.